Once again, these chaburas are sponsored as a tchus refu shleima for Yonina Chasya Basara. Tonight's topic is one that is found in last week's Parsha Tashavua, Parsha Re'eh, and it's a topic much larger than what we're capable of discussing in the next 15 minutes, but we'll begin to discuss some of the basics, and that is the issue of treatment of shemos, items of Kedusha, etc. So where does this all stem from? Where does it come from? It all begins with a number of psukim in Parshas Re'eh, source number one, Perek Yud-Beis, psukim Beis through Dalet, where the Torah tells us that you have to destroy all of those places where the Goyim worshipped their Avodah Zarah, and Pasuk Gimel there speaks about smashing their altars and their Masevos and burning their Asherah trees and the Ibadatam Eshemam, obliterating their name. And then Pasuk Dalet says, after listing all of the manner in which you should destroy the Avodah Zarah items of the Goyim, the Torah concludes this brief discussion by saying, Lo sa'asun kein la'ashem elokeichem. Everything I just told you to do to the Goyim and to their Avodah Zarah, burn their Asherah trees, destroy their altars, destroy their Matzevos, obliterate their name, all of that, Lo sa'asun kein, you may not do any of that, la'ashem elokeichem, to God. It's a daraisa to do that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? That's where it all comes from. Look in the Rambam source number 2, it's a quote from Sefer HaMitzvot, Mitzvot lo sa'aseh samachay. So Rambam in codifying this lav d'oraisa of lo sa'aseh ken la'ashem elokeichem says as follows. He says, HaMitzvah samachayhi, what is mitzvah number 65, lo sa'aseh 65, shehiz hiranu, God cautions us, warns us, minetot umei abed batei avodas pakel yis'ala, from destroying houses of worship of God. We're supposed to destroy the houses of worship of the Goyim, but an Issa Doraisa applies to one who does that to a house of worship of God. But this refers to, be it any destructive act in the Beit HaMikdash, or, by the same token, any destructive act in a Beit Knesset as well. One looks, for example, in the Rambam, in Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, in Perek Vav, Rambam speaks about if someone breaks even one stone in a destructive manner from the Mizbeach, from the Heichal, from anywhere in the Azara, he gets a punishment of Malchus Min HaTorah. Okay? Any destructive act in the Azara, the Mizbeach, or the Heichal is subject to Malchus Min HaTorah. So too says the Rambam, if one burns wood of Hektish, Der Hashkasa, one gets Malchus Min HaTorah. Okay, so that halacha in the Yad HaChazakah, Rambam doesn't quote Batei Knesios, but he speaks about in the Beit HaMikdash as being subject to this Issa D'oraisa of Lo Sa'asun Kein La'Hashem Elokeichem. If one continues in the Sefer HaMitzvot quotation here, you'll find the following. Rambam then says that in addition, Umei Abed Sifrei HaNevuah, destroying the books of prophecy, or erasing any of God's names, these are all subject to this Issa D'oraisa, Lo Sa'asun Kein La'Hashem Elokeichem. Kesam speaks about destroying Batei Avodas HaKel Yis'ala, houses of worship of God. Now, incidentally, from the Sefer HaMitzvot, it would seem to imply Beis Knesset as well. Batei Avodas HaKel Yis'ala. In the Yad HaChazakah and the Halacha HaDesedra, Perek Vav, Hilchos Torah, Perek Halacha Zion, he speaks about the Mizbeach, the Heichal, and the Azara. Okay, leave that aside for now. But furthermore, in Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam speaks about the issue of not just erasing God's name, which is obviously subject to the Doraisa of Lo Sa'asun Kein, but also destroying Sifrei Nevuah. Rambam speaks about as being subject to the issue of Doraisa of Lo Sa'asun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem. If you look up in the very next paragraph in Rambam, in Sefer Torah, Rambam writes, third paragraph on the page, Kisvei HaKodesh Kulon, all of Kisvei HaKodesh, Uperusha'en, Ubiurayen, the commentaries on the Kisvei HaKodesh. Also, the Sarfam Ola Abdam Biyad is forbidden to burn them, destroy them. The Ham Abdam Biyad, one who does so, what happens? Makanosa Makas Majus. You get Makas Majus, which implies what? It's a Drabanan. So, the question many Achronim raise is, what's going on here? Sefer HaMitzvot Rambam says that Lo Sa'asun Kein La'Hashem Elokeichem, Issa D'oraisa includes destroying Sifrei Nevuah. And the Yadach HaZaka, he speaks about one who destroys Kitzei HaKodesh as being subject only to an Issa Jabon of Makas Mardin. That's a bit of a question, how to resolve those two seemingly contradictory statements. Various Achron take different approaches. Avnei Nezer assumes that destroying all of Kitzei HaKodesh is an Issa Jaraisa, you just don't get Malchus for it, Min HaTorah, for whatever reason. Chaim Moshe Grozensky assumes just the reverse, that no, destroying Kitzei HaKodesh is an Issa Jabonon, only destroying Shemot HaKadoshim is an Issa Jaraisa. Okay, that will be a significant issue to come back to, perhaps in a future Chabura. But again, the bottom line is obviously both are subject to the Issur. The Oraisa Drabbanan remains to be seen, but clearly destroying a Shem Hashem is an Issur Oraisa. Destroying a part of the Beit HaMikdash, the Heichal, the Azara, the Mizbeah, is an Issur Oraisa. Kitzvei HaKodesh, Sipei Nevuah, perhaps an Issur Drabbanan, perhaps an Issur Oraisa. So that's the basis for these halachos, again, stemming from this pasuk found in Parshas Re'eh, Lo'sasim ken Lashem Elokeichem. Now, moving on with some halacha l'maaseh ramifications, the Gemara Migod of Chaf Vav, Amud Beis, tells us, so l'maaseh, what do you do? Sefer Torah. Rava says, Chaf Vav and Beis and Megillah, Sefer Torah, Shabbalah, what do you do? Sefer Torah is all worn out, or perhaps it's puzzle and it can't be easily repaired. So in source number 3, the Shulchan Aruch quoted in that Gemara Paskin, Sefer Torah Shabbalah, Sefer Torah is all worn out. What do you do? Menichin also b'klicheres, you put it into a pottery utensil. Why pottery? So the Gemara says because pottery allows the scroll to endure longer, it maintains it longer. Think, for example, the Dead Sea Scrolls that are found, years after they were put in their clay jugs and hidden in a cave somewhere. So pottery allows the scroll to be maintained as long as possible. So the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Sefer Torah Shabbalah, Sefer Torah that's worn out, Menichin Osov B'Kliteres, put into a pottery utensil, Begonzin also, and bury it B'Kever Talmud Chacham, in the same grave as the Talmud Chacham. That's the Pesach Halacha L'maaseh. Just a couple of months ago, they had a big Leviathan for Rockaway for the Sefer Torah that were damaged in the hurricane. And that's what they did. They had specially made clay utensils. I mean, that's to be at a special size. I think they were made to order. I think for the Sifrei Torah to be placed within and then buried in that manner. Now, there's an interesting discussion in the poskim. There's a prima gadim on this halacha who says that it's a chiyuv to do so. What does it mean, chiyuv to do so? Some poskim would assert him to mean that if a Sefer Torah becomes pasul or worn out and can't be used, you must put into a klicheres, you must bury it. Other poskim said no. All he means is that if you want to bury it, this is how you must bury it, in a klicheres. We're not mechuyuv to bury it once it becomes pasul. The Haraya, look around Minhag HaOlam, so many shuls have Pasul Sefer Torah sitting in their Aron Kodesh for years. Just the gauze was wrapped on the outside so no one uses it by mistake. So they're sitting in the Aron for years and for years and for years. There's actually a tshuva in Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's Igros Moshe, Or Chaim Chelek Zal, Simon Lamed Ches, Survey Tendler, source number 9, jump down for a second, source number 9. Rabbi Moshe was asked this shayla. He says, B'dvar Sefer Torah Shabbalah, Sefer Torah is worn out. Let's say you want to hold on to that Pasul Sefer Torah, but you put in the Aron, you put in a respectable place. Can you do that? Or do you have to dafka bury it the moment that you can no longer use it? So Moshe Paskins, he says, there's no chistaron whatsoever if you maintain it in a makom mechubar, and perhaps it's even better than burying it in a klicheres, says Reb Moshe. In other words, Reb Moshe says, the whole basis for the din of burying it in a klicheres is that once you're burying it, at least you have to do it at klicheres, because that's going to maintain it longer, preserve it longer. But if you are able to avoid burying it and keep it in the aron and keep it in a makom mechubad above ground, it's going to last much, much longer. That's as Moshe Zafada, much better. That's much better. He quotes the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan actually says that the Gemara's din of burying it in klicheres is a heter. You have a heter to bury it, provided you do it in klicheres. Because if you don't need to bury it, you want to maintain it in an Aron Kodesh, great, that's even better. That says that Moshe is Avada Mutter. Then Moshe addresses a very interesting shiloh, which is one which I have, you know, often at times been troubled by. Sometimes you see in various shuls or other institutions, they'll have a fragment of a Sefer Torah or a chunk of a Sefer Torah that was desecrated by the Nazis up for display in a big black, big glass case. I always wondered, is that Bekavadik? You're putting a Sefer Torah on display like a museum exhibit? So is that appropriate? Maybe you should have to daska bury it as an appropriate way to treat the Sefer Torah after it has been desecrated like that. So Moshe would dealt with this shiloh as well. And the second last paragraph on the page, he says, Ach ulai masha machziken as hayariya hanimseis m'sefer Torah kavur b'karka b'germania. But maybe when you hold on to a piece of parchment from a Sefer Torah that had been buried underground in Germany, nepnei ha-Nazis, shenis bala sham, it was worn out, and you want to keep it for makom mechubad in a respectable place, ava ba'open sheyiru osa lezichron rishos ha-Nazis. But you want to put on display. Everyone should remember what the Nazis did to the Sifrei Torah, remember their rishos, their evil. So you take a Sefer Torah desecrated by them, and you put in a big glass display case. So Moshe says, ulai, maybe, who aids the bizarre, maybe that's the bizarre, maybe that's not appropriate for Sefer Torah, treat it that way. But Moshe then concludes, says, no, mistaber, that it's not a bizarre. He thinks it's more reasonable to assume that it's not a bizarre to take a Sefer Torah desecrated by the Nazis and put it into a respectable display case, wherever it may be. The ain lanu levados milibein ulom ha-shudav ha-bizayon. We have no right as a Moshe to decide on our own what's considered a derech bizayon. But Moshe felt in his svara that this was not considered bizayon, provided it's in the makom mechubad, even though it's being seen and publicly displayed, that Moshe felt that was not a bizayon. A couple of other halakhas before we conclude from Meir very briefly. The Gemara in Megillah Chavach Mebeis, again, so before, also quoted by Halach and Shulchan Aruch, Kufn and Dalet, Arachayim, Mishnah Baruch Chelek Beis, distinguishes between Tashmish and Mitzvah, such as a lulav, an eshog, a sitzis, a sukkah, a shofar, an item used in performance of a mitzvah, which itself doesn't have any intrinsic kedusha. Such an item can be disposed of, albeit Shulchan Aruch says, not in makom bizayon, you can't throw your sitzis that are worn out in a disgusting kind of place, but you don't have to bury them, you can dispose of them in a more respectable manner. So tashmish mitzvah, it's a mitzvah item. In contrast, says the Gemara, to tashmish kedusha. Tashmish kedusha, which are items that actually possess some sort of kedusha to them, those items must be buried. They can't be disposed of. What are tashmish kedusha? Very important halacha. Look in source number 5 in the Shulchan Aruch, we find a list of examples of tashmish kedusha that one cannot dispose of, must be buried. What are they? For example, tik shel sfarim u'mezuzos, the case in which a Sefer Torah is placed, meaning that the mantle, that cover for the Sefer Torah, is a tashmish kedusha. Or you have a mezuzah that's placed within a cover that holds on to the mezuzah. That's also tashmish kedusha, can't be thrown out. Or tzuos tefillin, straps of one's tefillin, can't be thrown out. Those are also tashmish kedusha. Our gods should know both Sefer Torah. The aron in which the Sefer Torah is placed is tashmish kedusha. Not only that, even says the Shulchan Aruch, kisei shenosin olav Sefer Torah, that the table on which you place the Sefer Torah for reading is also tashmish kedusha. Now on that, the Mishnah Berurah says that, strictly speaking, says the Mishnah Berurah, the cover on the table upon which the Sefer Torah is placed, that has the kedusha. Due to a concern that once in a while you use the table itself without the cover to support the Sefer Torah, that's why we consider the table also to be tashmish kedusha. But strictly speaking, says the Mishnah Berurah, the cover to the table itself on which the Sefer Torah is directly placed should be considered tashmish kedusha, and therefore will not be allowed to be thrown out. One interesting halacha l'maisa, as we close up from Maariv, ramification of all this. You look in source number 10, Mishnah Berurah speaking about a balkoreh, says that a balkoreh should not recline for support, should not lean himself on that mappa, on that covering that's on the table on which the Sefer Torah is placed. Because since the mappa is a tashmish kedusha, you shouldn't be using it, you know, to rest your elbows on for support, since it has to be treated with respect. Interesting halacha that you perhaps might not be so sensitive to, that just using the mapa on the shulchan, which is usually used to support the Sefer Torah, to support your elbows when you're, you know, just stomp schmoozing and relaxing and leaning and reclining, is not a purpose of the Mishnah Berurah, because this is a Tashmish Kedusha.